I will be reading from Revelation 7, verses 9 to 17. After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes."
Thank you, Marilyn, for reading scripture for us this morning. And thanks to everybody that has played a part in this worship service. I'm made extremely aware at times when I see things like this of what my giftings are and what other people's giftings are. And, you know, Lori, thank you for using your gifts to help bring this morning for us in this beautiful display. And I know different people helped with the bread and, you know, Cindy and, you know, for all the people just that have helped to make this worship service happen. Thank you. This theme of celebration, it's important. I'm just curious, how many people knew that celebration is actually a spiritual discipline? And yes, there's a number of hands here. If you remember back to last fall, we went through Nathan Foster's The Making of an Ordinary Saint. And Nathan Foster indeed includes celebration as the last discipline. And it comes from his father, Richard Foster, as well. And so it's appropriate that we spend a little time thinking about celebration and how appropriate that it fits with communion as well. So we've been talking about spiritual disciplines, and I want to just begin with a different discipline really quickly here, this discipline of prayer that we explored earlier in the year. And I found something kind of funny. It's about Pope Francis, and obviously, as Pope Francis, the Pope prays a lot. In fact, he prays while even sometimes sleeping, he says. They go hand in hand at times. And the 80-year-old pontiff is quoted as saying that sometimes when he prays for long periods of time, he dozes off. But, he says, Saint Therese did it too, referring to a 19th century nun. So he's not the only one. And I don't know if any of you have experienced that when you're trying to do these disciplines and practice them very faithfully and something unexpected comes, like maybe you end up falling asleep. That's okay. There's this, I think what's important here from the Pope is saying, don't get so legalistic about these things. That's not the point of the disciplines. To say, oh, I need to pray now for 1 hour and I can't fall asleep and I need to do this to be faithful. That's missing the spirit of the spiritual disciplines. And even for Pope Francis, when he falls asleep while praying, he is saying that's okay because it's communion with God. And it's not about just praying for this amount of time. And so I hope that you have felt that sense of grace and not legalism as we have been talking about the spiritual disciplines. So celebration as a spiritual discipline. Richard Foster says this: the spiritual discipline of celebration leads us into a perpetual jubilee of the Spirit. We are rejoicing in the goodness and the greatness of God. And another quote from Leon Bloy, he says, joy is the most infallible sign of the presence of God. Joy is the most infallible sign of the presence of God. And so if celebration and joy is a way of recognizing the presence of God, why is it sometimes so hard to do? Why is it hard just to celebrate sometimes or to have joy? I really appreciated Nathan Foster's vulnerability in his chapter on celebration. He just names why it's hard for him to celebrate. He says, I certainly need more practice with celebration, although I'm learning. We're all learning. He says, my insecurities and self-doubt are what keep me from joy. God accepts me, therefore I can accept myself. God doesn't shame me. I don't need to shame myself. I'm free to let others accept, reject, or judge me. As my dad, Richard, has said, freedom from anxiety and care forms the basis of celebration. But I appreciated that he was honest, that sometimes his own self-doubt and shame and anxiety sometimes gets in the way of just celebrating. And I can join him in some of that. And maybe some of you can join him too, in just recognizing why it's hard to celebrate when our own self-doubts and insecurities creep in to us. And even in our faith, thinking about how we celebrate the greatness of God and God's love for us, that insecurity that I'm not good enough, or I'm not following Jesus enough, or these sins that just, I feel like burden me, they can just drain us from celebration and joy. And so we come recognizing that need, just to confess that to God, those insecurities, that shame sometimes that we feel. And as we give that to God, we can receive a new spirit of joy and celebration. Celebration is a great word. What do you think of when you think of celebrate? Do you think of the Lancaster Mennonite Blazers winning the district championship last night? They celebrated. Do you think of a birthday celebration like was named for Mia, celebrating 21 years of life? Man, that's a great celebration. We should name that and celebrate that. Maybe you thought of the Phillies winning the World Series in 2008. I was celebrating when that happened. Maybe you think of that time when you paid off your last payment of student debt. Celebration. Or a graduation from high school, college, a wedding, an anniversary. You celebrate. Let's recognize the joy and the accomplishment and the moment. Even sometimes a funeral is called a celebration of life. Recognizing that even though we are sad that this person has died and has left our life, we are going to celebrate the greatness of this person and God's goodness in their life. We celebrate their life. Or even 2 weeks ago, Mellinger Mennonite, 300 years of history. That was a celebration of that church and God's faithfulness at Mellinger's. And it's cool because the history of First Steph in Whitmer Heights is also connected to Mellinger Mennonite. Celebration. This impulse to celebrate as a means to remember what God has done for us has ancient roots. And Trish, I love that you brought in the Passover to children's time. Great example in scripture of where we see celebration, and that out of a response to what God has done for Israel in bringing them out of exile, that they are called then every year to remember through the Passover and to celebrate God's faithfulness. Because every time that they celebrated Passover, they remembered what God had done. They were reminded. There's a few other examples as well. Purim, marking their deliverance from Haman. As Trish said, Passover, celebrating their deliverance from slavery. What the Jews celebrate now in Hanukkah celebrates the rededication of the temple. All of these unique festive traditions that come out of scripture around remembering God's faithfulness and that call to remember. And yet this call to remember God's faithfulness, our memories tend to be short-term sometimes. We can easily get distracted and swallowed up by the challenges of life, by those insecurities or those doubts, which is why celebration is so important to our spiritual life. The act of celebration anchors us in God's story, one that goes way beyond any current hardship that we may be feeling right now. God's narrative, God's story, this creation, it is good. Let's celebrate the goodness of this creation. We are a part of that creation. God formed us from the dust and called us into relationship with God and with others through Christ. And then the celebration of God's faithfulness is culminated. The very climax of celebration is when Jesus became flesh, human, assumed all of our sin and brokenness so that we could also celebrate relationship and fellowship with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is a celebration. And that is what we see in the text that was read for us this morning in Revelation. A true celebration in Revelation. A celebration story. The Apostle John has given us a glimpse here of this great victory celebration. He tells us in the book of Revelation chapter 7, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, all tribes and people and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb.'" There's just a few points that I want to emphasize here. But the one thing that really sticks out to me here is this line, "all nations." And if you look at the bulletin cover, that's also the theme, "from every nation." It follows the lectionary series. It is significant, I believe, that this picture of celebration in the final, you know, the kingdom of God is fully realized. Jesus is Lord of all, and everybody recognizes that. That it will be a true picture of celebration with people from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. And so often we get caught up in our own circles of people that think like us and look like us, that we forget the beautiful multicultural and diversity of God's creation. The global church, and it takes me back to Mennonite World Conference in Harrisburg, or if you've been to other Mennonite World Conference assemblies, the beautiful thing of worship with people from every nation is awesome. And we see that picture here in Revelation. I was at a wedding in 2008 with a friend from high school. His name is Johannes. And he went to EMU and he married the former bishop Clara Good's daughter, Esther. And they then went back to Ethiopia to get married. And he invited my whole family to go to this wedding because we hosted Johannes when he was at LMH in our home. And we built a lot of relationships with their family. And so they invited us to this wedding celebration in Ethiopia. Let me tell you what. They know how to party. It was literally a week-long celebration. Because a lot of it was preparing this food for the day of the wedding. But every day that they prepared food, they would invite friends to come over as they were preparing the food to eat food and celebrate. So literally every day leading up to the wedding, we basically partied and celebrated. And then the day of the wedding, for the reception, there was just, I think there was probably 700 people there. Friends who were invited were expected to invite their friends. And so I asked Johannes, I said, how many people do you know here? Maybe a third, he said. But everybody here has a connection with another person, and that's all that matters. And so they did RSVPs very differently than I did at my wedding. In fact, they didn't really know who's going to show up, but whoever showed up, they knew there's going to be a party. And there is something beautiful about that celebration. And that idea of celebrating with people from every nation just really was cool. I saw a picture there of the kingdom in a new kind of way than I had before, celebrating Johannes' wedding in Ethiopia. Another thing that sticks out to me as I read this text, we see this communion around God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit at the very center. It says, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. I see this picture of the holiness of God in the center. And everybody around coming towards the center in worship, in praise. And I love this picture of communing around the table. Jesus is the center of our faith. You've heard me saying that many times now. And this picture of the Trinity at the center and us coming towards the middle. And that is true in all of life, I believe. That as we have this centered set, it's not so much are we in or are we out, but which way are we looking? Are we looking towards the center, towards Jesus at the center, or are we looking away? And so often, even with this practice of communion in the Mennonite church, it has been bounded. It has often excluded people in unhealthy ways. And part of what I hear our church leaders calling us to is some repentance from some of those practices and moving more towards a centered set, not a bounded set. We see this picture of a centered set here where everyone is surrounding the Holy Trinity in the middle with praise. It's not are you in or are you out, but which way are you looking? Are we looking towards Jesus? I believe we are. We see these words, amen, blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. We've moved into the month of November, which is Thanksgiving. And I love, Emily, thanks for pointing out the tree there. That was done at community night, just on Wednesday. And the children made that tree, and they put the leaves are things that they are thankful for and grateful for. It's a Thanksgiving tree. And how appropriate that our children have actually led us into this spirit of Thanksgiving and celebration for us on Wednesday. The child will lead the way as we hear in Scripture. So children, thank you for giving us a picture of celebration. Because we read in Scripture, what we celebrate today is that there is this call to remember what we are grateful for. That is what the Passover celebration was about. It was that remembering. And when we do things like that on the tree, we actually write down and remember what we are grateful for. It is a way to worship God. So children, thank you for that Thanksgiving tree. This is it's a great posture for us to move into November as we think about Thanksgiving and celebration. And so I was running yesterday. It was just a beautiful day. I don't know if any of you got outside yesterday. And I was just going to do a 3-mile run, but it ended up being 5 because it was just so gorgeous. And I had this song going over and over in my head. It was like a worshipful run. It was awesome. Taste and see that the Lord is good. That song in Sing the Journey, Taste and See. Well, this morning we are going to taste and see, but we're also going to smell the goodness of the Lord. Do you smell the bread baking? We've been talking about this in worship team for a long time, and we finally made it happen. We are baking bread during the worship service. And the hope is that you will smell the aroma of the bread. Taste and see. Celebrate that the Lord is good. Smell the goodness of the Lord. We want to invoke all the senses, the visual beauty, the taste of the bread and the juice, the smell, feel, touch. And this, we want to do it in a posture of celebration. And so one of the things that I would encourage us to do as we take communion this morning is to actually talk with your neighbor as you're coming forward. And even as you take bread and the cup, we often do it in a very somber way, which is very appropriate because we are remembering what God has done for us through Christ. But there's also a place and a time to do communion in a more celebratory way. And so feel free to mingle and talk and celebrate the goodness of God as you're coming up to celebrate communion. The other thing that is unique this morning is we're inviting you to actually take a bigger piece of bread. Maybe take a big chunk or a whole slice and a nice bigger cup of communion of grape juice. Take your time celebrating and just taking in the goodness of God in community. We see a picture here of what communion is about in the book of Revelation. This picture where it says, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's what we celebrate at communion. And it's this salvation that is here and now. We remember back, just as the Israelites did at Passover. We also remember back, but we also don't just stay in the past, but we come to the present and we look to the future. We come to the present recognizing God's salvation is here and now, and this forward-looking celebration that we read in Revelation when the kingdom of God is fully realized and known, where Jesus is Lord of all. And so come this morning remembering back to what God has done. Celebrating the goodness of God and the salvation of God right now in our congregation and in your life, and looking forward to what God will continue to do through his salvation. And I'm going to invite Neil, Jonathan, and Shelby, elders, to also help to serve communion for us this morning. And again, to do it in a spirit of celebration. You can come now. Yeah, you guys can come up. On the night that Christ was betrayed, he took bread, he got up from the table, and giving thanks, he took bread and broke it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you. Every time you eat this bread, do this in remembrance of me." And after the meal, he got up and he took the cup and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Every time you drink this cup, do this in remembrance of me." Loving God, you have baptized us into one body and made us to drink one spirit. Thank you, God, for this opportunity to remember what you have done for us through your life, your teachings, the cross, the resurrection. Lord, we remember and we celebrate your love to us. And we also celebrate right now the way we see your salvation in our lives, in our congregation, in our community, in the world. Help us to continue to name, as the children did, these places of thanksgiving and joy and celebration in our life. And God, we also look forward, just as this picture of Revelation shows us what we look forward to, when we will all gather around the throne, where you are at the center, in praise and adoration to you, singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." God, as we share in communion together, would you bless this time of fellowship with one another and remembrance to you. In Jesus' name, amen.